sermon fell on Mother's Day, but it kind of fits. But today we're going to talk about guarding your children's hearts. Guarding your children's hearts. Because let me tell you very plainly, they don't have the defenses that you do. Little babies, when they come into the world, they're defenseless. Physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. They're all there. But they have to grow. They have to develop. There's things that have to happen in their brains. There are connections that have to be made in their brains so that they can grow. And it's up to us as parents, as being stewards over the grace that God has given, for us to be the guardians of their heart. You know, even though they grow up, I look at all of these young girls that I remember when they were born. When they were little bitty in their diapers. And now they're young ladies. And they're maturing physically. But that doesn't mean that they're mature spiritually or even in the other realm that they're where their hearts are concerned. We still have to guard our children's hearts. See, there are traps out there that are set against our children to shape them, to pull them away from their design as God has made them. See, the scripture tells us to train up a child in the way that he should go. And one guy say, that word in the way means the bent of the child. See, we're unique. We all have a bent. We all have a way that God designed us, and we're bent a certain way. And one of the responsibilities that we have as parents is to find that bent and to bring our children up in connection with that. What the world does, the world just wants cookie cutter people. People that don't think for themselves, that don't act for themselves. So we see so many things out there that if they just listen to the world, they're not going to be unique. You know, you see kids, you look at teenagers all the time and they say, you know, I want to do my own thing. But have you noticed that they all look alike, they all talk alike, they all dress alike? They're not doing their own thing. They're being influenced. Somebody is speaking into your children's hearts. I heard a mom say the other day that she had to intervene. I don't know if it was through the social media, but there are traps that are laid for our kids in social media, like Twitter and Facebook and some of those kind of things against our teenage kids. There are whole corporations that their design is to control the way that our children think. Our greatest challenge as parents is to guard our children's hearts. I was on Facebook the other day and I read that where one of my pastor friend's mother passed away, Tom Underhill. He has been my friend since about 1980. And I saw where she had passed. And immediately the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And I understood what it was about, but I didn't really understand the context that it was going to apply. I didn't really understand. But he spoke to me, Proverbs chapter 22 in verse 28, that says, do not remove the ancient landmarks which your fathers have set. Do not remove the ancient landmarks that your father have set. If you go back into Jewish history and you go back into where the children of Israel began to come into the land, God gave them a possession. He gave it to them by tribe. And he described what each tribe's inheritance was. And they set landmarks. And within those landmarks, there were things that happened in Jewish history where they built altars. There was an altar called Bethel, which meant house of God. And it was based on significant things that happened in their history that God wanted them to remember. And I think this is where this scripture comes from. Do not remove the ancient landmarks that your fathers have set. Because not only are these the landmarks of the fathers, these are the landmarks of God. So when I saw that Miss Underhill, Minnie Underhill was her name, that she had passed away, the Holy Spirit spoke that to me. So I went to the funeral. It was on May the 1st. She passed away on April the 29th. And in May the 1st, they had the funeral. So I just drove over. Tom's been my friend for years. So I got there early and was sitting in the auditorium. And they were having the visitation, the funeral, and the committal all that day at the church. So I was sitting there about 45 minutes early, and I was kind of just watching. I'm an observer of people, and I noticed that when the family came in to view the body, it was a little unusual to me because they didn't really grieve. They stood there and they looked at their almost 96-year-old grandmother. She was born on July the 5th, 1916. And in July, she would have been 96. A life lived for God. A life lived for her family. She raised two sons. They have grandkids and great-grandkids. And they came in kind of like one by one. And they stood and they viewed her body. I didn't see grief. It was almost like they were paying respect to a great lady who had left them an inheritance, who had paved a way for them to live. The grandchildren came in. The great-grandchildren came in. Tom and his brother. They started the service. The grandchildren did the service. She has two grandchildren that are in the ministry. Both of them are pastors. One of them is Keith Underhill, who pastors in Monticello. And the other one is Susan Underhill Allen, who is the new pastor at Russellville Christian Center. Susan started off and talked about her grandmother. The only time that I saw tears, or the only time that I heard her voice crack, is when she talked about her faith. And she talked about the example of her faith that she had left her. Now, I don't know. A lot of you don't know who Tom Underhill is. He started and pastored Russellville Christian Center. He started it in about 1980, 78 to 80, somewhere in there. He has been a very strong influence in my life. He has been a very strong influence in churches in Arkansas. And I've heard him talk a lot about his mother and father, how that they were poor and how that they raised them in the faith. And then Keith got up and talked about his grandmother, and he told some of the craziest stories about Grandma Underhill. We laughed. And it's just like I got to know. I had never met her before. But when I left that service, it's like I knew her and what she stood for. I don't know what she accomplished in her life personally. But it's obvious what she had accomplished in her life through the most important thing in her life. The two most important things is her faith in God and her family. do not remove the ancient landmarks that your fathers have set. That's what I want to talk about today. See, as a pastor, I've done lots of funerals in my day. I don't know how many I've done. And I usually stand at the head of the casket as they do the viewing. And I have seen lots of things happen. I have seen people who come by and it's obvious that they're full of guilt. I've seen people come by and it's obvious that there are things that were left undone and things unsaid. I did not sense that at that service that day. It was like we're celebrating her life and it's complete. She's done what she was supposed to do. She has passed on from her generation to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. The landmarks, the things that are important. It's obvious that she guarded Tom's heart. It's obvious that Tom has guarded David and Susan's heart. And it's obvious that those have guarded their children's heart because that whole family is serving God. David is a chiropractor, lives for God, represents God. And I went there to be a support to him. But I went away blessed that day from having been in that service that day. I want to share some things with you today about guarding your children's heart. And I think this is important because I think that our greatest responsibility as parents is, let me back up, our greatest stewardship, because we do not own our children. Children are a blessing from God. If you see them any other way, if you see them as your possession, you're missing the whole thing. They are a grace in your life. They are a responsibility. They are a dispensation or a stewardship that God has entrusted us with. See, what would it accomplish if I built a great church and lost my family? What have I gained that if I have not influenced the most important thing that God has put in my life? See, number one, it's my relationship with Him. Number two, it's my relationship with my family. That's more important than my ministry. Because listen, I have no ministry if I fail as a father, as a husband. Nothing else really matters. So how do we guard our children's heart? I want to give you seven things today if you're taking notes. Seven things. Number one is to guard your heart. To guard your heart. Now, I'm not just talking to mamas today. I'm talking to parents. Okay, I know this is Mother's Day and happy Mother's Day, but I'm not talking to mothers. I'm talking as our responsibility as parents, as grandparents, as our families, whether it's nephews, nieces, even being a friend. We can help in these things. See, it's very difficult these days, isolated, to do the job that we need to do. That's one of the reasons, that's one of the wisdoms that God gave the church. The old African proverb says, it takes a village to raise a child. I understand that. It takes a great village to raise a child. And I think that's probably, we could say it takes a church to raise a child. It doesn't just take parents. It takes a community of people working together to raise children the way that they should be raised. To make sure that the landmarks are indelibly imprinted in their hearts so that they will have guidance. Even when they don't want it, they'll have guidance. Okay. So the first thing is to guard your heart. Because moms and dads, you set the atmosphere of your home. You are the gatekeeper of your home. You're the one that opens the door to things and shuts the door to things. And you can think, well, my children don't know everything that I do. They don't have to know everything you do, because what you give yourself to is going to come through you to your children. Good or bad. I got to look at something the other day that was wonderful. Now, is that a perfect family? No. They have faced some very difficult times in their life. And even though there were some very difficult times, they came back to those landmarks because those landmarks were indelibly imprinted in their hearts. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You know why? Because he cannot. It'll never get away from him. But if it doesn't start with me, if it doesn't start with us as parents, if our hearts are unguarded, then our children's hearts are unguarded. So the greatest thing that we can do is guard our hearts. Think about the Garden of Eden. Think about what happened in the Garden of Eden. Did Adam's heart affect his world? Remember, we started off by saying that your heart affects your world and your world reflects your heart. When Adam sinned, did it affect his children? What happened with Cain and Abel? When Adam didn't guard the garden, when he didn't guard the garden of his heart, and he allowed sin to come through him, the Bible says that through one man's disobedience, that sin was passed on to many. His world, his children, was affected by his heart. And Cain killed Abel. Now, was Adam to blame? No. But did Adam influence his child? Yes. Was it on purpose? No. What about David? I think about David. Remember the story of David and Bathsheba? I don't have time to go through all of that. How that, you know, David committed adultery and he had her husband murdered and all of those kind of things. And he, when he was confronted by Nathan the prophet, David made this statement. He says, "The man who has done those things will repay fourfold." David's adultery cost four people their lives. Number one was the unborn baby. He had a son called Amnon who raped his half-sister Tamar. Absalom, his other son, killed Amnon. Tamar was ruined. And then Absalom rebelled against his father and was killed in battle. See, David's heart affected his world, and his world reflected his heart. And it wasn't good. It wasn't good. So one of the greatest things that we can do for our family is to guard our hearts, because our hearts affect our world. The second thing that we can do is to put God first. To put God first. Now, I'm just going to give you some very practical things here. Seven very practical things. Put God first in your life. Can I say this? That your children are going to be passionate about the things that you're passionate about. And they're going to be indifferent about the things that you're indifferent about. I am a Razorback fan. Okay? My sons are Razorback fans. My grandchildren will be Razorback fans. I am a Cardinal fan. Two of my sons are, and the other one backslid. Okay? The things that we are passionate about. If you're passionate about NASCAR, you know what you're going to talk about to your kids? NASCAR. The things that you're passionate about, your family will be passionate about. If you're passionate about God and church and serving God, your children will be passionate about it. If you're indifferent, if it's a take it or leave it thing, your children will be the same way. So one of the greatest things that you can do for your family is to put God first in your life. Number three, honor and love your spouse. Honor and love your spouse. The greatest attack of America is not communism. It's not political. It's spiritual. The greatest thing that we're seeing that's hurting our country is the disintegration of family units. I'm not here to condemn people, but what I'm telling you, if Satan can destroy the family, he can cripple the nation. If Satan can destroy homes, he can cripple and bring the church to its knees. Now, I'm glad that we have a promise. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We have a promise. But you know what? The greatest gift that I can give my children is to love and honor my spouse. What am I doing? I am setting landmarks in their minds. In marriage, there's nothing about marriage that's easy. I'm preaching to the choir now, aren't I? Women are hard to live with. Men are impossible. Okay. I love, and we're probably going to do this series. It's called Sacred Marriage. And the premise of this is that God didn't give us marriage to make us happy. He gave us marriage to make us holy. God loves marriage. We should love marriage. We should love the things that God loves. And see, when I love and honor my spouse, I'm subconsciously and consciously planning something in my children's minds that is going to be very difficult for them to get away with. If I change spouses every time there's a problem, it's going to be that much easier for my children to do the same. I'm telling you. What are we talking about? Setting landmarks in hearts. He says, don't change the landmarks. Now, I'm not political. Well, I am. But this is not a political statement. That's why we don't need to recognize same-sex marriages. It's not a political issue. It is a spiritual issue. We have to set the landmarks in our society about what God has set in our society. One man, one woman for a lifetime. You may be there and have been married 10 times. I'm not saying this to condemn you at all. I'm saying, drive a stake, make a commitment to God's way. Because what we do is what we pass on to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. Preaching good. What am I to? Number four? Somebody taking note? Number four? Raise your children in a life-giving church. Now, I could say just raise your children in church. There's a lot of people who do not go to church today because they have been hurt at church. And let me just say this. There are casualties in every church. We have had casualties in our church. But there are some churches that are just mean. Okay? There are some churches that are just mean. There are some churches that just don't preach anything that has any substance. We don't need churches with no substance, and we don't need churches that are mean. We need churches that are life-giving. One thing I love to see happen, Miss Nancy, is when little children get up on Sunday morning and mom says, or dad says, we're not going today, and they pitch a fit. I want to go to church. I have to hear what Miss Nancy has to say. I love that. You know why? Because it's life-giving. So raise your children in a life-giving church. And that has nothing to do with denomination. That has nothing to do with denomination. It has to do with the attitude of that church. Okay. That's number four. Number five. Communicate and model principles. Communicate and model godly principles. What good does it do for you to stand before your child and say, do as I say, not as I do? What's the problem there? They don't listen to what you say. They watch what you do consistently. So not only do we need to just say the things, we need to demonstrate it. We need to walk it out. We need to walk out principles of honesty and integrity. We need to walk out these things in front of our children. Why? Because we are setting landmarks. And what's wrong if we're setting the wrong landmarks in their life? Yeah, but I taught them right. But did you show them right? And it's not easy to do that, because it's so easy to compromise. But if you love your family, if you love your children, if you're going to guard their hearts, guess what? You're going to have to be consistent at that. What am I to? Number six? Somebody's taking notes. Yay. Show them love. Don't just say, I love you. Show them love. Now, how can I do that? Let me give you some things, just practical. Spend time with your children. Spend time with them. Don't just buy them stuff. It's not about stuff. Now, they like stuff. But, I guarantee you most kids here today could not tell you what they got for Christmas. Last year, year before. It's not about stuff. It's about you. You with a guarded heart. You who on purpose are spending time with your children. Number two, listen to them. Kids don't always make sense, do they? Kids talk about dumb stuff sometimes. Kids need to be heard. You don't need to do all the talking. You need to do some listening too. And the older your children get, you need to listen to what they're saying to you. Because sometimes out of their heart, they're telling you what they need. I'm not talking about the iPhone and the Xbox and the Wii. They're really telling you what they need. When you hear what their heart is saying, they're telling you what they need from you. See, we get so caught up with all of our stuff that we forget the most important things in our life. Number three, date your kids. Guys, how will your daughter ever know what a real man is if you don't date her? How will they ever be able to recognize a counterfeit if you don't show them what a real man is? How about family time? That's important. Doing things together as a family. Make events important. What am I doing when I do that? I am guarding my children's hearts. This is practical stuff. And here's a big one. Keep your promises. Keep your promises. That means you have to set some priorities. Well, I was going to take you to the zoo, but my buddy wanted to go fishing. Oh. No, if you promise, your promise is more important than your recreation. Keep your promises. Now, one more thing, and we're quitting. And this is huge, and this is number seven in our list of things to do to guard our children's hearts. It's praise more than criticize. It's so easy to be, the only time that your children ever hear anything out of you when you're correcting them. You need to praise them more than you criticize them. Do they need to be criticized? Yes. Not them, but their actions. It's your job to correct them, okay? But if all they ever get is correction and no praise, it's going to affect their hearts. They will not have the outlook on life that they need. Amen. Well, I preached over today. Stand with me. We've talked about heart rate. Guarding our hearts above all that we guard. Guarding our children's heart. The greatest heritage that you have is your children. I never will forget, and I know Steve and Becky will remember this, that years ago our whole family, besides mom and dad, went on a trip to Colorado. And we met in Steve's dining room. That's where we left from. Mom and dad were there. And we prayed before we left. And dad just looked so concerned. And he said, now, he owned property and business. He wasn't rich, but he had lots of possessions. But he was so troubled that day. He made this statement: everything that I have is leaving today. Everything that I have is leaving today. That impacted my heart. I knew then that we were more important than the stuff. And when we see our families as our greatest responsibility and our greatest blessing, it will change the way that we act toward them. Before we dismiss, I want to pray a prayer over your families today. Father, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have spoken to our lives today. Thank you for it. Lord God, I pray that we'll have the heart to listen and obey. In Jesus' name. I want to ask you a question before we go. What did the Holy Spirit say to you today? What did He say to you about your responsibility? Write that down. Don't forget that. See, because it's not important that you remember what I say. That's not important at all. But if he spoke, that is important. Because that's him standing at the door and knocking. And you have to open the door. And you have to let him in. And that means you have to fellowship around what he has said to you today. Maybe he said something to you about your family. Maybe you understood something about your past that has affected you, that the Holy Spirit wants to visit with you about. But I think the big question is, what do I need to do today based on what the Holy Spirit has said to me? Amen. Thank you for being here today. Again, happy Mother's Day. Have a blessed day. Would you do that? You're dismissed.